WHD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire,
and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Peter King. Border town officials and lawmakers from both sides of the aisle have been demanding more from the Biden administration to deal with the crisis at the southern border. Now the administration says it'll modify the temporary protected status program to allow about 500,000 Venezuelan migrants to live and work legally in the U.S. Correspondent Manuel Bajorquez is in El Paso, where officials say they're stretched to the max.
The county-run shelter we were at, where they're seeing about 600 migrants a day right now, they say they're currently exploring the possibility of adding more resources, possibly more employees, having to call up more people to process additional migrants that are coming through. So those are some of the logistics that are at play right now as they wait to see what happens here.
Ukraine's President Zelensky meets today with President Biden and members of Congress who will be voting on a huge aid package in Washington. House Speaker Kevin McCarthy.
I want to make sure there's accountability where the resources are going. I want to see a plan of what we're looking for victory. And I think members will sit and have their questions as well.
Poland's prime minister says he will stop sending weapons to Ukraine so Poland can be better prepared to defend itself. A Tennessee sheriff says he stands behind nine deputies indicted for allegedly killing a black man in jail last year. Video released by the DA shows the deputies beating and kicking inmate Gershon Freeman when he escaped from his jail cell. Shelby County Sheriff Floyd Bonner.
Let me be clear. No actions by any Shelby County Sheriff's Office employee caused Mr. Freeman's death. The medical examiner plainly said that he died from a pre-existing heart condition.
Striking writers and studio representatives will meet again today to try and reach an agreement to end the five-month-long walkout. KCAL-TV's Tom Waite.
There has been some reporting that there's progress, but that goes both ways. Some people are saying that the progress, while it could be there, that could also be one way for the studio heads to be releasing the idea that there's progress in order to pressure the Writers Guild into a deal. So it really is just going to be fascinating to see how this plays out.
The writers are demanding higher pay and protections from artificial intelligence. The use of AI is the basis for a lawsuit. Creator of Game of Thrones, John Grisham, are among 17 authors suing OpenAI for systematic theft on a mass scale, charging the technology is using their copyrighted works without permission. The company says it respects the authors, believes they should benefit from AI. S&P futures down 23. This is CBS News.
You need to hire fast and hire right? You need Indeed. Their all-in-one hiring platform helps you attract, interview, and hire candidates efficiently. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
Why are interscholastic sports called the last classroom of the day? Because they teach students important life lessons, like teamwork, accountability, and perseverance. School sports are so much more than a game. They're about developing the whole person. That's why they're an essential part of every student's education.
Encourage your student to participate in the last classroom of the day. Interscholastic sports in Wisconsin. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba,
please be done.
Over and over and over and over and over. Then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
More than 80 million Americans depend on AM radio each month for news, weather, and emergency information. A new bill in Congress would make sure AM radio remains in cars. Because when cell and internet services are down, this free service could be your only lifeline. Text AM to 52886 and tell Congress to support the AM Radio for Every Vehicle Act.
Message and data rates may apply. You may receive up to 4 messages a month, and you may text STOP to STOP.
This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters.
If I could be you,
and you could be me,
for just 1 hour.
If you could find a way
to get inside
each other's mind.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out. And for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here.
I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe, and is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
UPS Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org, brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
93.5, The Tap.
All across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wasota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlove.
Well, hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. It's Thursday, September 21st, and another beautiful day to have you here up north from wherever you're listening, across the Civic Media Radio Network, or on the app, or by podcast, or by social media. Welcome to the State of Common Sense, where we unpack the news every morning for you. Here's what's on tap. We'll talk to our friend Joe Zepecki about a glimmer of legislative hope. To the surprise of many, Republicans did not bring a quick end to Governor Tony Evers' request for a special session to focus on the child care crisis and a middle class tax cut. We'll talk to Joe about that and the role of Wisconsin members of Congress in the fight to avoid or force a government shutdown. And then we've got a very busy second hour coming up here. We've got a doc, a chef, and a cook. We'll talk to 3rd Congressional District candidate Rebecca Cook during a recent visit to Chippewa Falls. We'll share that conversation from a couple days ago when we caught up with her. Our Hometown Health segment has Chef Ace Champion joining Dr. Kristen Lyerly to talk about cooking for the Packers, holding a world record, and encouraging positive thinking and healthy choices. We'll also get the weatherology forecast, and we'll also talk a bit about the Brewers, whose magic number is down to 4, that close to capturing a Central Division title in the National League. You can be a part of all this at 844-967-2789, or you can email us radio@upnorthnewswi.com. Or if you're watching one of the live video feeds on one of the Facebook pages where we do this fine radio show, put a comment there. We might see it and put it up on the screen right here. 6 a.m. temps, mostly pleasant fog in some places around Wisconsin. Up here on Lake Wasota, it is 56 degrees. Madison reporting 62. Waukesha, 59. La Crosse at 62 degrees. Wausau, 56. Wisconsin Rapids, 55. Green Bay's at 55. And Hayward is at 50 degrees. And again, details on your weatherology forecast coming up in just a bit. But first, before we tell you what all Up North News is working on today, let's head down to Madison. Check in with Sam Davison at the Civic Media World Headquarters, I guess we'll call it, for lack of a...
World
Headquarters. We still don't have an official name. Is it the Control Center? Is it HQ?
I've heard it called the Mothership before.
Is it the Mothership? Yeah, it's the Borg. It could be all kinds of things. How are you, Mr. Davison?
I'm doing pretty well. How are you?
Good, thank you. I'm especially happy because I made my weekly Wednesday afternoon appearance on the Todd Alba Show. And his producer was there. Proof of life from our friend Aaron Zommers.
He's alive. You got to
see him. Eaten by a bear. No, he said he had a very nice time. And
that's good.
And then he was sufficiently upbraided for not checking in, for just, you know, leaving us hanging like that. But I'm also sure he's getting more sleep and enjoying it. So welcome to the bottom of the ladder there, Sam, where you have to get up now at some ungodly hour.
Hey, you got to start somewhere, I guess.
It's only up from here, buddy. Only up from here. So, all right. Well, good to have you here as well. Let's see. Over at UpNorthNewsWI.com, we're covering several stories along the way. Social media as well. Our newsletter. The newsletter today, I know you heard Christina Laurie talk about this day before yesterday. It's cranberry time here in Wisconsin. From a crop perspective, I mean, we are the number one supplier to the world in cranberries. A lot of families and jobs rely on the cranberry crops coming out of the bogs around our state. But also from a festival standpoint, things are getting set to get really busy in Warrens for the Cranberry Fest there and elsewhere. And on social media, again, sometimes you like to put these things up just to see if they get, you know, some good comments. And boy, did we, these fill-in-the-blank ones really seem to do it for us. We asked you in a very simple Facebook post, blank has the best cheeseburger in Wisconsin. So Sam's going to come up with a diplomatic answer here while I tell you that we've received over 450 comments just on the Facebook post version of that. And as I've mentioned a couple of times up here in Eau Claire, you have to include the Amber Inn. You have to include the Corton House. I'm sure there are more that other people would like to nominate. Sam, I know you're in Madison now, but also, you know, of course, you're familiar with the greater Ringgold-Wausau metropolitan area. You got a go-to spot for a good homemade cheeseburger?
Around Wausau, I can't say that I've had like a lot of locally made cheeseburgers. Most of them are from chains, but my family used to have a cabin up north in Mercer, Wisconsin, and there's a place in Mercer called Around the Corner Pub, and they have a thing called the Pub Burger, and that's probably my favorite Wisconsin burger.
That's a good one up north. The Anchor Bar up in Superior, well known for their burgers. And I'm convinced, and I'm not saying this in a denigrating fashion at all, but I'm convinced the older the grill is, the better the burger is.
Oh,
because
of course.
I know a couple of these bars, those grills look like they have not been cleaned since 1903.
The more seasoned it is, the more seasoned your burger is going to be.
Exactly. That's how it's supposed to work. Again, in a very safe way, of course. But there's some great places. There's no excuse to be getting a bad burger around Wisconsin. You know, after all, isn't it Seymour that says, you know, the hamburger was invented there or something like that? So we know burgers. Go to our Facebook page and you will see where you can put in your own nominee for the best burger in the state of Wisconsin. Let's take a break here. When we come back, we'll give that Brewers update, which includes a Cubs update, which is why the Brewers are that much closer to a playoff spot. And then we'll unpack the news. Wherever you're listening from across Wisconsin on this Thursday morning, when you're here, you're up north. This is Up North News Radio. We're back after this.
When you're high, you feel different. You think different, you talk different, you draw different, you listen to music different, but you probably knew that. Problem is, you also drive different, and not in a good way. That's why driving high is illegal everywhere. So if you're high, just don't drive. Make a plan to get a sober ride. Because if you feel different, you drive different. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Don't let biased algorithms, or degree screens, or exclusive professional networks, or stereotypes, don't let anything keep you from discovering the half of the workforce who are stars. Workers skilled through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper ceiling and see the stars beyond it. Find out how you can make stars part of your talent strategy at tearthepaperceiling.org. Brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
RPG came through the belly of the aircraft. We don't talk about the female combat wounded. These are our daughters and our sisters and our mothers. Wounded Warrior Project came into my life and taught me how to stand back up and get back in the fight.
The truth is, I think we all have this strength inside of us, but until you're tested, you just don't know it's there.
See how Wounded Warrior Project empowers women veterans like Beth by visiting woundedwarriorproject.org/empowerwomenvets.
93.5 The Tap. Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin.
This includes a commitment to news.
Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News, today. It's the perfect companion into your local Civic Media radio station.
Missed your favorite show? It's easy to find it wherever you listen to podcasts. Apple, Google, or civicmedia.us.
This is Don Felder of the Eagles on the guitar. And Visions is really the only song that he kind of co-sings on lead. Otherwise, he's better known as the guitar player for Hotel California, for the Eagles. It was on Hotel California. Remember the 1994 version when the Eagles reunited and they made the album Hell Freezes Over and kicked off that one live concert that got going with a flamenco-style intro to Hotel California? That was Don Felder on that guitar, and we'll play a little snippet of that later on as well. Big night for the Brewers last night. Josh Donaldson hit a three-run homer in the first inning. Tyrone Taylor homered twice. The Brewers beat the St. Louis Cardinals 8-2 last night to take another big step toward their second National League Central Division title in 3 years. The Brewers' magic number is now 4. To win the division, the Cubs lost again. The Brewers now lead the Cubs by 7 games with 10 left to play. Mark Canha hit a three-run double in the ninth inning for Milwaukee, clearing the bases. Adrian Hauser won his third straight decision. He gave up only one run and 4 hits in 6 innings of work, and the Brewers wrap up their 4-game series in St. Louis today at noon. You can catch that game in the Fox Valley area on Oshkosh Air Support and in the Richland Center area from News from the Center. All right, let's unpack the news here, and you can join us at any point at 844-967-2789. Again, 844-967-2789. Would be nice to have you jump in with any thoughts on some of the many headlines going on in the news. We're going to talk more in a couple of minutes with Joe Zepecki about arguably the bigger story here in Wisconsin, and that's the special session of the legislature that Governor Evers called, trying to get the legislature to come in and take seriously the issue of child care, the issue of a middle-class tax cut, you know, basically the things that didn't get fully resolved in the state budget debate as a way to say, okay, fine, the budget's behind us. Let's sit down and talk about these things. And everybody expected the Republicans to gavel it in and gavel it out again, basically ignoring the governor. And that didn't quite happen that way. So we're going to talk to Joe about that in just a bit. We, along with Republicans who have not yet taken any substantive action on child care and workforce issues and bolstering the UW system and a tax cut, we're going to be reminded today down at the state capitol that Republicans have also done next to nothing on gun safety. Today is going to be Gun Violence Prevention Day of Action at the state capitol, where members of various groups are going to gather. They're going to learn about the types of laws that could help, like red flag laws and universal background checks. And then they're going to be dispatched around the Capitol, hoping to be able to talk to their hometown lawmakers who may or may not be in the building, may or may not be in committee meetings or back in the district. But they're hoping to find some of them and hoping to spark some conversations, at least have some moments of civility. Some of those legislators will sound sympathetic. Others will probably be downright belligerent, saying that basically anything that you try to do to keep kids from getting killed by guns is going to violate the Second Amendment, when nothing could be further from the truth. We talked about this with folks from Motherhood for Good last week. We talked to Dr. Kelly Snooks, a pediatric critical care physician. Other groups that will be there today include the Wisconsin Anti-Violence Group, the Giffords Group, the Brady Group, March for Our Lives, all looking to have some grounded and approachable conversations with state lawmakers in the hope that they will finally do something about the scourge of gun violence that has killed multiple law enforcement officers this year and so many children as well. Over in D.C., meanwhile, the government is still hurtling toward a possible shutdown, even as oblivious Republicans head toward an impeachment of the president for we don't know what. We're just kind of stuck that way. But you also have Alabama Senator Tommy Tuberville, who for, I think, about 7 months now, has been blocking hundreds of military promotions, leaving some substantial positions vacant. And Senate Democrats have finally decided that they've had enough, at least for people at the very top of military command. And so yesterday, instead of bundling the nominations together, which I guess a single senator can object to, they're taking them on one at a time. And so they started at the top. There's currently there's not a Senate confirmed chair of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, like the number one military guy that the nation depends on to advise the president on military matters around the world. Tommy Tuberville had no problem leaving that open. He said, there's no problem there. Because again, if you don't work very hard for a living like a Tommy Tuberville, you think that pretty much anything can happen, you know, by itself. It doesn't work that way. So Air Force General Charles Brown was confirmed last night. Earlier, I forget how many years back, General Brown was confirmed to lead the United States Air Force by a vote of 98 to nothing. And yet last night, in confirming him to be chair of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, 11 Republicans voted no. What changed? Did something happen to General Charles Brown? Probably not. Were these 11 Senate Republicans simply looking out for themselves and looking to score political points, essentially, and call attention to themselves rather than this country's military readiness? Yeah, it was probably that instead. And was Wisconsin Senate Republican Ron Johnson one of those 11 people who probably voted yes for General Brown back then, but for some reason wanted to play politics with the nomination last night? Well, to quote the old line from Laugh-In, you bet your sweet Bippy. Ron Johnson, one of 11 Senate Republicans who could not be bothered to try to keep the military in a state of readiness. After all, Ron Johnson is also single-handedly holding up some spending bills. And again, I'll wait and talk about that with Joe Zepecki as well, in terms of, you know, what can get done in Congress together. And that is ultimately the main thing, is doing things together. Why a small band of far-right House Republicans thinks that they get to call the shots? Why a single senator like Tommy Tuberville thinks he gets to call the shots on military promotions? Why a single senator like Ron Johnson can put a hold on military construction and a budget for the Department of Veterans Affairs? It just leads you to wonder if there's anything about these folks that is in the mode of public service, of serving their country rather than their party. There are people looking for ways to, shall we say, improve the electoral process. And that's great. First off, we've got to defend democracy itself against attacks, whether it's the outward attacks like, you know, the January 6th insurrection and holding Donald Trump and others accountable for it, or defending democracy in ways that we talked about yesterday, in encouraging people to vote and defending the right to vote and removing roadblocks to voting. We've got to defend democracy, something I never thought we'd say in our lifetimes. But there are also people who are trying to improve upon the current system in their mind. And that's where I'm kind of curious as to your thoughts about ranked choice voting in elections. There's a new article this morning from Jesse O'Point in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel talking about how two Republicans and two Democrats introduced legislation recently that would allow for ranked choice voting in congressional primaries. Regardless of party affiliation, voters can vote in a primary for either party, but can only vote for candidates of one party, and then the five candidates who receive the most votes would move on to the general election. In the general election, Jesse O'Point writes, for these congressional seats, voters would be able to rank the candidates in order of their preference, and they could do write-ins as well, and then the winner of the elections is determined by instant runoff. And if you're not familiar with that, here's what it means. You take your field of five candidates, and you can rank them one through five. You don't have to. You can just pick one if you want. You can just pick two, but you pick one as your first choice, one as your second choice. You can do that for three or four or all five candidates. And then they're all tabulated based on who you ranked first. And whoever comes in fifth is eliminated. And so now you've got a field of four. And after that, you look at, you know, of that field of four, how many people chose them. And you continue on until you have a candidate who wins a majority of the votes because enough voters ranked them somewhere on the list that they now have majority support. It means you're not going to have people elected to Congress or going to a general elections by primaries where they get like 15, 16% of the vote. And it means that if you like a couple of different candidates, you might like a third party candidate. You might like two Democrats or two Republicans. You can rank them. If you were to look at, say, the U.S. Senate race from last year, if the whole field, if it weren't a primary, if it were a general election, and you had that whole primary field of Mandela Barnes and Sarah Godlewski and Alex Lazary and everybody else, and, you know, Ron Johnson and Tom Nelson, you wouldn't have to list Ron Johnson as one of your choices if you were voting on the Democratic side. Just to make sure I allay any concerns here that, well, what if a person I don't want at all gets in? Don't vote, don't put that person on your list. But if you want to list two or three people, then at least you know maybe your first choice didn't get in. Maybe your first choice was eliminated in one of the earlier rounds. But at least somebody you know about, somebody that you are willing to support, gets on there. Getting back to Jesse O'Point's story, she says backers say the changes would foster bipartisanship because candidates would be inspired to appeal to the broadest slice of the electorate, not just those in their party. She also notes, rightly, that the change could create some headaches, at least in the early stages, for local clerks. Clerks would have to run a couple of different types of primaries at the same time because this would only be for congressional primaries at first, and you might need new equipment to tabulate the winners as well. But at least this way, according to the co-sponsors of it, the aim is to not to change who gets elected, but to change the incentives of those who do get elected. And this is a rather impressive bipartisan list of sponsors. From the Chippewa Valley, you have Democrat Jeff Smith and Republican Jesse James of Altoona. You also have Democrat Dan Reamer of Milwaukee and Republicans Ron Tussler and Tony Kurtz. It's, again, the kind of thing that is not blatantly Democratic or Republican, but definitely worth debating and seeing if you'd like the idea or at least would like the option to give it a try. So think about it. When we come back, Joe Zepecki with more about the special session that isn't quite dead yet. We'll be back.
Thanks for listening to your local Civic Media radio station. Learn more on our website, civicmedia.us.
CBS News Brief. The Biden administration says this should help ease the southern border crisis.
More than 400,000 Venezuelan migrants will have a chance for both legal status and work permits, giving them the ability to live and work in the nation legally.
CBS's Allison Keyes. Ukraine's President Zelensky talks with President Biden and lawmakers today, and correspondent Scott McFarland says Zelensky faces a lot of questions from them.
Unlike last time he was here, last year, there are growing divisions in Congress about whether to continue funding aid to Ukraine.
Nine deputies seen beating and kicking an inmate on video have been indicted for his death. Shelby County, Tennessee sheriff says the man died from a pre-existing condition. Attorney Bryce Timmons represents the dead man's family.
He's responsible. He supports his officers. He creates these policies. He is personally and directly responsible for the death of Gershon Freeman.
CBS News Brief. I'm Peter King.
Bug Tussle, providing high-speed internet to rural Wisconsin. No data caps, no contracts. 877-227-0924. Call today to learn how you can get 3 months free. 877-227-0924.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
My immediate thought when I read about this and then watched it today was, please don't die, Senator McConnell. I couldn't disagree more strongly with Senator McConnell's policy positions, but he has been one of the only elected officials that's in a leadership position for the Republican Party that hasn't completely supplicated himself to Donald Trump.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Weeknights at 6 p.m.
on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Brock.
I didn't realize that Tucker Carlson's like hemorrhaging viewers. And I heard yesterday someone was like, oh yeah, like no one's actually watching it anymore. I was like, oh, yeah, that doesn't really surprise me. It's kind of like Threads.
it was the same for about 5 minutes.
It was like a
week.
Everyone was excited and then they moved on.
Well, it's like Scott Walker's presidential campaign. It's a big deal for about a week.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Bry. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Talking to your kids about the dangers of vaping can be hard. Getting them to listen to hot gossip is easy. So here's some drama you could share with your kid. Dude, did you hear about Cassie and Jake? No, but did you hear that vaping can cause irreversible lung damage and nicotine affects brain development? Nuh-uh. You don't need to gossip if you want to have an open conversation about vaping. So if you want to get tips on when and how to talk to your kids, visit talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
The Todd Alba Show.
Two kinds of politicians, those who want to be and those who want to do. Tommy Thompson, John McCain, I would put Tony Evers in this category. They're guys who are running because there were things that they wanted to do.
The Todd Alba Show.
Now contrast that to Hillary Clinton, I would argue, or Donald Trump. Sure, there are things they want to do, but ultimately, they are like Scott Walker. They were people who want to be.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekday afternoons from 1 till 3 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Here we go with Joe Zepecki on Up North News Radio. I'm Pat Crichton. Joe's over there, and we're talking about what's been in the news this week. And I guess if you could call it news, it's that the special session that we thought was going to be gaveled in, gaveled out, didn't quite happen that way. Joe, hello. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, you bet. Let's figure out if there's anything to read into the tea leaves, or if it was just, you know, just a thing where Republicans didn't want to be accused of gaveling the session out. So apparently they only adjourned for the day. Is there anything we can read into this?
Well, I'd like to think so. I'll be the eternal optimist and not the Eeyore this morning.
Okay.
We are heading for a cliff. This cannot be stated enough. The child care system in Wisconsin is staring, you know, into an abyss, if you don't like the cliff analogy, where 90,000 kids who need child care could be impacted in just a couple of weeks. What is that going to do to the moms and dads across this state who need to work, who count on that child care? And the answer from Republicans has been not our problem. While Tony Evers and Democrats have been saying there is a way to smooth this out, to make sure parents have the same flexibility that they have had, and to do this in a way that works for taxpayers, works for businesses, because it means that they have a workforce that is more available to them. And I am pleasantly surprised that they did not gavel in, gavel out. I think this makes this the longest already special session of Governor Tony Evers's time as governor. But let's also not give Republicans too much credit, because they have had an opportunity to address this for months. It, going back to the budget process when the governor tried to fix this, and time after time, Republicans have chose, right? It's a conscious choice to not engage on this issue. And we can't pretend that they are sitting in chambers right now debating the merits of the governor's proposal today or substituting their own plan as amendments. They're just not in the room because they're adjourned. And I don't know what to make of that, but I know that this is a challenge in desperate need of a solution. And the only ones offering one so far are Tony Evers and Democrats in the legislature.
And that's where, if I were going to be the optimist on this, it would be that, yeah, because right now it's Groundhog Day, in that you're just restating your positions from back earlier in the year with the state budget. Well, that's supposed to be behind us now, to say, all right, that's done. Here we are in the fall session now. Where can we meet on this? And again, Republicans saying we don't have any interest in meeting. We think childcare is babysitting, and some of the other things that they've said that just show a complete absence of knowledge about what it is that parents and childcare centers do. And I know there are working parents in that Republican caucus, and yet there is this immense disconnect. And I would like to think
it's just unbelievable, right? I mean, like, just very quickly,
yeah,
a little economics 101, which I should probably never do, but here we go. Like, here's three ways a thriving childcare industry is good for the state. Number one, it maintains an industry, the childcare industry, where people go to work, right? That creates jobs. Number two, it allows parents to be part of the workforce and not have to scale back hours or take lower paying jobs. That's a problem. And number three, that combination of one and two helps maintain what economists call the velocity of money. What makes an economy healthy is not how much money is in it. It is how quickly it is moving around, that I am paying you for something and then you are paying someone else for something, services and goods. That's the modern economy. And so why wouldn't we try to get this done? Why would we run the risk that 90,000 kids, and so how do you back out the math of that? Even if you assume two kids per household, 45,000 adults in Wisconsin are going to have to cut their hours in the next couple of months? Like, come on, what are we doing here?
You get that and I get that, but ever going all the way back to the Reagan era, we've been hearing about supply side economics when it's just so proven time after time, it's not the supply side you want to stimulate, it's demand. And that when you do that, you get that velocity in the economy. And yet we still have people that are looking out for the side of the spectrum that does not move, you know, money as quickly through. They do it in bigger chunks, obviously. Right.
One last point on this. Maybe, and again, here's the optimist looking for the silver lining. Maybe the fact that we've still got a tax cut out there, we've still got a UW engineering bill out there. Maybe we've, you know, there's still the stadium financing deal, which we can talk more about in a moment, and this childcare issue. Maybe there is enough that is still at stake in this fall session that there are some backroom conversations happening, not in a nefarious way, but to try to figure out between the two parties, who's going to get the wins on what they want and how's the other side going to get what they want. We know this. Nobody's getting everything they want out of that four pack of issues.
And I don't know what it takes them so long. And the same in Congress, why they're not figuring out, you're not going to get all of what you want. So why don't you just talk to one another? So I was going to ask you about the stadium debate and whether there is any next step planned, but obviously this could all get rolled into other matters. And it just doesn't, it seems like we have the two plans out there and this is just going to kind of linger for a while, but I do want to ask one question about it. And it's simply that when Miller Park was built and you had that 0.1% sales tax in five counties, and the Republican plan really only asks Milwaukee County and the city to contribute, can we agree that whatever eventually comes out of this, nothing's going to come out of it unless it's regional?
Oh, I would certainly expect that to be the case. I think it's fewer than a quarter of paying customers who go to the ballpark are from the city of Milwaukee. That's just the math doesn't math. And this is a regional economic development tool. If that's the best case for it, right? If it's really something that is worthy of spending public dollars on, that's because it's a powerful economic development tool. And if that is the case, to say that it is just this one community that benefits and therefore they have to bear the brunt of the cost, that doesn't pass the laugh test.
So we'll keep an eye on all of that, but now turn our attention toward, you know, our Wisconsin members of Congress, where things are screaming toward a shutdown, it seems. And, you know, Joe, the time used to be that we kept essentially saying to Republicans, look, you keep saying there should be cuts, put it on paper. They're finally feeling their oats enough where they are putting these things on paper. And the Republicans on the House Budget Committee this week put out a new thing saying, here are the trillions in cuts we are demanding to avoid a shutdown. And I just wonder not only what that says about the impact on Wisconsin, but, you know, does it make it any easier to come to some kind of agreement that avoids a shutdown? Let's start first with what they're outlining, though. These are punishing cuts.
Oh, it's just devastates the social safety net. And I can understand people who feel like the government spends too much money, they need to spend less money. That's a perfectly defensible thing to think. Okay. The scale of these cuts is not going to get, you know, the people who are inclined to think that way, the freeloaders off the couch, right? This is going to hit everyday hardworking families, people who are working one and two jobs and still need a little extra assistance. We're talking, you know, seniors on Medicare. This is not the way to right the wrongs that may have come to pass through American governing history. Okay. It is taking it's not even a sledgehammer, right? It's like an anvil, you know, on a house. Mm-hmm. Maybe you don't need something quite that big. And so I think the more important point, though, because we have seen pretty draconian proposals from Republicans before, including from Republicans who are willing to do things like say, oh, Social Security, that's on the chopping block. Medicare, that's on the chopping block. What I am most deeply concerned about is that I have been watching the Congress of the United States professionally and personally for a very long time, literal decades. I'm in my second century doing this. I have never seen more chaos in a conference or in a caucus than what is going on with House Republicans right now. It is astonishing if you look for more than just a few seconds at the dynamic emerging between Kevin McCarthy, his leadership team, the Freedom Caucus, this rogue band of, you know, McCarthy holdouts who made him, you know, beg and cry to get the speakership. It's astonishing. It's unlike anything I've ever seen. I don't really even know what to compare it to, but it is that reality with how poisoned all of that is that it almost doesn't matter what they put on paper. The government's going to be shut down. They're going to go along with this insane impeachment of Joe Biden, who after 9 months or 7 years, depending on how you're counting, have not found a single shred of evidence implicating Joe Biden in his son's legal challenges. Both of those things are going to happen. It's like a freight train coming at you, and you just like you're stuck in cement because the Republican conference has so lost its way.
To the degree that I have to ask this, between, you know, Gallagher and Stile and Van Orden as well. Do you feel like any one of those three are going to try to be some kind of a public voice of, you know, moderation, and can't we all just get along, guys? Because we know what, you know, Fitzgerald and Tiffany are going to, and Grothman, we know what they're going to, you know, do and say.
No, but the short answer is no. All I can liken this to, Pat, is like, have you ever been at a bar where a fight breaks out? And like, and it's because of how packed in everybody is, the fight just sort of festers and it takes on a life of its own and it catches up people in it who weren't even part of the altercation to begin with. The gentleman you just mentioned, I just have no confidence that they are anything other than the people on the outside of the scrum running for the exits, because they know that nothing good comes out of poking their face in there where they might catch an elbow or an errant fist. That is like, that's the analogy. That's what I can come up with, is like, that's what the Republican conference in the House of Representatives looks like right now, where even Republicans in the Senate are looking at that and going, what in God's name are you doing? Like, you got to cut this out.
Oh, but not all Senate Republicans are saying that. There's one who's working hand in hand with the House Republicans to throw sand in the gears. And I think we all know who we're talking about here, don't we?
But even he at least like has a bill. Like, he wants to do a thing. I think the way he's going about it is wrong. It's not a piece of legislation that I'm inclined to speak very favorably of. But at least he's coming into the fight with like a piece of legislation, an actual law that says, here's how we can stop government shutdowns in the future. I'm not here to give Ron Johnson credit most days, but I'm giving him a heck of a lot more credit than the House Republicans right now. That's the takeaway.
And let's, when you said earlier, I don't know what to compare it to. Here's what I would compare it to. Kevin McCarthy is saying, you know, things this week like, oh, it's such a slim majority, and oh, you wouldn't know how much trouble this is. If I'm not mistaken, I'd compare it to Nancy Pelosi having pretty much the same slim majority and getting stuff done, big stuff.
Big stuff. And that's where that's where it ends, though, because they never made her grovel to get the gavel.
No. And of all the things that they're putting out there as possible cuts, again, I'm not hearing them offer up $2 trillion in tax cuts, you know, revoking the things that they passed during the Trump years. I don't think that's in that report. I didn't read it that carefully, but I don't think it's going to be in there. Yeah. So
you want to fix our finances? Tax the uber rich.
Mm-hmm. Joseph Pecky, as always, thank you so much. I have a feeling we'll have a new chapter to discuss real soon.
There's always something new. See you, Pat.
See you, Joe. Oh, wait. I let him go before asking him. Did you hear the part, Sam, where he says, you know, have you ever been in a big bar fight where, you know, people are running for the exits and other? I'm like, I want to go drinking with Joe now. I want to know what bar he's going to.
That sounds like an interesting time.
I know. Joe, you have way more interesting watering holes than me, and we are going to have to talk about that real soon. Sam, nothing for you? It's just him?
Okay. Yeah, I guess.
If you had a bar where you're like, oh, yeah, in Ringgold, we do this all the time.
Can't say that I do, no.
Okay, sounds good. Today's history lesson next. You're up north.
Why are interscholastic sports called the last classroom of the day? Because they teach students important life lessons like teamwork, accountability, and perseverance. School sports are so much more than a game. They're about developing the whole person. That's why they're an essential part of every student's education.
Encourage your student to participate in the last classroom of the day. Interscholastic Sports in Wisconsin. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba,
please be done.
Over and over and over and over and over. Then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
More than 80 million Americans depend on AM radio each month for news, weather, and emergency information. A new bill in Congress would make sure AM radio remains in cars. Because when cell and internet services are down, this free service could be your only lifeline. Text AM to 52886 and tell Congress to support the AM Radio for Every Vehicle Act.
Message and data rates may apply. You may receive up to 4 messages a month, and you may text STOP to STOP.
This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters.
Mostly sunny today. We'll get to 81 for a high this afternoon. The wind out of the southeast at 5 to 15. Tonight, 58. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy. Scattered showers and thunderstorms. 76 Saturday, Sunday. A little cooler with a better chance of rain. We could get some measurable rain right on through the weekend. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 55.
Missed your favorite show? It's easy to find it wherever you listen to podcasts. Apple, Google, or civicmedia.us.
I know what you're thinking. You're like, hey, wait, didn't they play this already to start off September? Well, yeah, but there's another day when you have to play it, because after all, now, the interesting thing, Kristen Lyerly, is the reason why they picked the 21st night of September for that tune by Earth, Wind, and Fire.
Tell us, Pat. Why is it?
No reason at all. It just sounded good. They just picked a day, and it sounded like just fine. So nothing famous happened that day.
It does just happen to be my oldest son's girlfriend's birthday. So happy birthday, Rachel.
Well, there you go. Oh, and that's the other part of the song. Body ah. Again, the producer or somebody tried to get them to change it. And they're like, no, it sounds happy. It sounds fun.
Just say something.
Just go with it.
Love it.
I do, too.
This is that song that, like, when I need to get up, like, I need to have some fun. This is the song I put on.
Oh, yeah. Again, how do you avoid that? Oh, hey, welcome back. So many travels.
Yeah, it's been a little nutty. It's going to still be a little nutty, but I'm done in Arizona now.
Yeah, well, you did some wonderful service out there, and I'm sure people are very thankful. So, you know, new adventures.
Mm-hmm. Always.
All right, let's look at a couple of historical notes. Actually, first I'm going to play, let's play from Santo and Johnny, the number one song from this day in 1959. This classic is called Sleepwalk. One of those songs you hear 100 times and you go, what's it called?
I would have never known the name.
Sleepwalk is the name of this one from 1959. Benedict Arnold gave the British the plans to West Point on this day in 1780. On this day in 1981, Sandra Day O'Connor is unanimously approved by the Senate as the first female Supreme Court justice. We heard already from Don Felder. He turned 76, the Eagles' lead guitarist, and we'll hear more from him in a bit. Actor-comedian Bill Murray. You want to take a guess on his age? And I'm saying that because I forgot to do the math. So while I math, do you want to tell me?
He's eternal.
yes.
I'm going to go with 75.
73, not bad. Yep, born this day in 1950. We've got several folks from the music world on there having birthdays today, including happy birthday to Faith Hill, who's 56 today. Crazy. Ooh, I love the way you love the way you love me. There's nowhere else I'd rather be. Was it yesterday or the day before you were so impressed that I knew who Alfonso Ribeiro was from Dancing with the Stars? Or was that somebody else?
It was somebody. It was one of your other super fans.
Super fans. Yeah. Carlton from The Fresh Prince. He's 52 years old today. You're doing a good chair dance version of it. But can you do the actual? Can you do the Carlton if you were out on the dance floor someplace?
I'm going to give it a try later today when I can stand.
There you go. All right. Another birthday today. This would be happy 34th birthday to Jason Derulo.
Derulo.
I was about to stay home tonight. We're now at one of those points in the program where I go, I don't really know the song, and why don't I? I should be playing this more often. It's got a good beat. I can dance to it. I could do the Carlton to this, you know?
One of the things about Jason Derulo is he says his names in all of his songs. So every song he says Jason Derulo. Yeah.
Oh.
So you should do that.
Does he like forget? Crate-lo. Well, we start all the time with somebody reminding me who I am. We hear Don Rue going, here's Pat Kreitel. I'm like, oh, that's right. It's me. Luke Wilson, not Owen Wilson. Luke Wilson is 52 years old today. Barry White had the number one song this day in 1974.
It's just not enough.
I used to be able to get my voice down there.
Sing it, Pat.
Yeah.
My darling, I
woo!
Can't get enough of your love, babe.
So you like my impression of Barry? Oh, wait, that actually is Barry White. Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you have, when you set an alarm, do you have an alarm sound on your phone? Do you have an alarm clock, or do you play a song?
I have a Foo Fighters song that starts out kind of quietly, and the game is to wake up and hit stop before it busts into the full guitar piece.
Oh, that's really good. I do something similar. I tried to pick like the most gentle beginning because I don't want that annoying like, get going. So I use that very soft guitar and the waves crashing at the beginning of Chicago's Wishing You Were Here.
Oh.
So a lot of times it's just, you just hear some waves crashing and it's time to wake up. But we did for the line, we've changed songs over the years, but one of our songs for a couple of years there was Barry White's My First, My Last, My Everything.
Oh.
Get the dun, dun, dun. And if you can't get out of bed happy to that, mm-hmm. there's just something wrong with you. Let's see. Green Day released American Idiot this day in 2004. And then while we run that underneath, I'll tell you that on this day in 2011, REM announced that they're calling it quits after more than 30 years, thanking their fans. And on this day in 2017, because of low payouts on YouTube, Post Malone released a version of his latest single, Rockstar, which was just the chorus, looped five times. The comments were disabled, and users were offered a link to hear the full version on a more profitable platform. That's the world we live in now with digital music and platforms, and I can't keep track of it all.
It's
I used to go to the record store. I bought a record. I put it on a record player.
Yeah.
So many different options today.
My kids only listen to music on YouTube. They don't do the Spotify.
Really?
Oh, yeah. They don't do any of the music subscription services.
It's both good and bad, you know, that we're fractured that way, but it also means there's more choices than ever. I know that for the radio station, they would love Spotify subscriptions if you listen to the show as a podcast. And I don't know if that's based on something financial or if it's based on the way that they get data from Spotify, that it's easier to read that than say Apple or some of the others. YouTube, I know that at the radio station, thankfully, they pay for the premium. Because every time I'm looking up all these songs the night before, I have to sit through so many 15-second commercials just to hear the song.
So painful.
It is. But that's where we are at this point and probably, you know, will be for some time to come. So YouTube for all of them, which, you know, that means, and again, this is years off, of course. But someday you're going to be sitting in your recliner, you know, one or more of your boys is going to be over and they're going to have their little kids at grandma's knee and they're going to make some comment about YouTube and they're going to look at one of your boys and go, YouTube, grandpa, nobody listens to YouTube anymore. And let me tell you something as a grandfather now. That is so great when your grandkids do something that make one of your kids look at them funny and they go, oh. So this is what it's like. Yeah, this is what it's like.
I keep a special little story in my heart where I had to teach my mom how to program the VCR over and over again and then just finally took over on that and, you know, recognize that we're all there at some point.
Oh, yeah. All are. And all will be. So you just have to enjoy those moments of the ride, you know, as they last. When we come back, State Representative Jody Emerson will join us for a couple of minutes to talk about the special session that is somehow still alive. It made it until the 21st day of September. Back with that after this. You're up north.
If I could be you.
And you could be me.
For just 1 hour.
If you could find a way
to get inside
each other's mind.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out. And for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that.
Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here.
I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe and is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.